Hello, and welcome to this podcast of Sunday sermons from Concord United Methodist Church. We hope that you'll find this message to be meaningful, insightful, and a refreshing part of your daily walk with God. Please feel free to share this podcast with family, friends, or anyone else who might benefit from it. This podcast is part of the digital ministries of Concord United, and we are grateful that you have chosen to experience worship and God's Word with us. For more information about Concord United and its ministries, please visit our website at concordunited.org.
So anybody ever been in a marching band? Oh, yeah. We've got more people. We have more people in this service, but a few more by percentage who are willing to admit that you were a band geek. I was a band geek. I love marching band. I have a physique for marching band and as opposed to football, and I basically enjoyed it. But it was tough being a band when I was in high school in Sevier County, because while Sevier County went on to have a very fine band program, when I was in the band, there were less than 30 people in it. They used to accuse us at halftime of forming a feather and playing Yankee Doodle. We were so bad. I started marching with the high school band when I was in the seventh grade because I could play the trombone, and they had two people holding one, but they weren't playing it, and they needed that part. So I mean, it was really bad. It's the truth. It was really bad, and it was embarrassing. Really, our cheerleaders would disown us. Our cheerleaders once at an away ball game when we were between uniforms, we were getting new uniforms, and we all just had on white shirts and black pants, I think. And our cheerleaders actually told the opposing team's cheerleaders that this was like the junior high band, that our band was on a tour of Europe. You know, it's like, thanks a lot. We appreciate that. But so my senior year, I hung in there. My senior year, we had this assistant band director who realized that we were, you know, we played music that none of us could really get into very much. And so he wrote some arrangements of popular songs. We did. Now some of you are going to go, what? Who? We did a Creedence Clearwater song. And I know everybody calls that classic rock now, but whenever I was a senior in high school, it was just rock. You know, it's only classic now. And we played Creedence Clearwater song and a couple of others, I don't remember. But to kind of get us more interested, he wrote this into our show. You know, not only did you have the music, but you had a kind of a description of how you were supposed to march, and you marched this many, you know, paces forward, and then you turned and went this way four and went that way. I can't do that because I'll get dizzy, but you know what I mean. You had to go in certain directions to make certain formations. Now, our formations were simple, because by the time I was a senior, I think we may have had 40 in the band, but you can't do a lot with that. But we still would go out and make some formations. But in the middle of this show, he wrote 32 counts where every member of the band could go anywhere they wanted to go, do anything they wanted to do in those 32 beats, as long as you were back where you were supposed to be at count 33. So, you know, we had people who went in circles. We had people who would go out this way and back that way. It was bizarre. But we thought it was great, because we all just got to do our own thing. And for 32 beats, we could do anything we wanted to do. But to the crowd, it didn't come off quite so well. My father was the PA announcer for up in the press box. And I remember when I got home, my dad said, "What on earth happened to the band? It looked like you all forgot what you were supposed to do." And I said, "Well, no, we didn't really forget, Dad. And I tried to explain it to him, and he thought it was crazy. It might have been. But for those of us who were in the middle of it, we loved being able to do our own thing. We hadn't actually forgotten what we were supposed to do. That is in contrast to the passage, which is actually just one verse we're going to talk about this morning, from the book of Judges. Because if you could say one thing about the book of Judges, it was that God's people that he had put together and ordered all of a sudden started acting in a way that was unrecognizable even to themselves, because they literally had forgotten what they were supposed to do. Now, probably some of them were just ignoring what they were supposed to do. But it's really a very similar situation. They forgot. And so today, as we continue our sermon series, and kind of the theme of our sermon today is living right when everyone else is living easy, it comes from the book of Judges. Now, It may seem like we're not giving much respect to the book of Judges because we're going to blow through the whole thing in one Sunday and we're going to really have one theme verse. But here's the deal. The book of Judges is really one story that just gets repeated over and over and over again. There was this cycle that the people of God were stuck in. They would do their own thing, go out on their own, start making up their own rules and living however they wanted to. And then they would get in trouble with the neighbors around them. And then someone would come and direct them to go back to God, and they would come back to faith again, and everything would be great again until they got comfortable. And then they started doing their own thing again. And it is, and you know, we can look at them and go, well, those silly Israelites. Well, you know, the thing about Judges is it's really easy to find ourselves in there as well, because it's just human nature. I remember being at a party when Christy, our second daughter, who's, she was about three at the time, we were at this party out at a lake house, and the guy had satellite TV. And I don't know if you've ever seen the second Terminator movie. I had never seen it at the time. I have now. That's the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, and it had the guy who was after him, the Terminator, who could morph himself into anything. I remember in one case, he was like, there was this floor in a hospital, and all of a sudden he just comes up out of the floor, and then he's a policeman again. He morphed himself into a policeman much of the time. And so Christy's watching that, and I'm kind of across the room from her, and she's watching it, you know, and because she loves movies, always has and always will. And I didn't see what was coming. But if you've ever seen that movie, you know that at one point the guy's arm just turns into this sword, and it just goes right through this elevator door and just goes right through this guy's eye and kills him. And Christy is standing right in front of this big screen TV when all of a sudden this sword comes out and just jabs this guy in the eye. And suddenly she's looking around the room and she's running for me, and she runs back to me and she buries her head between my knees and she throws her arms around me and she squeezes me, and I'm patting her, feeling like, you know, a complete failure as a parent for not seeing that coming and letting her see that. But even as I was patting her, going, oh, honey, it's okay, it's just a movie, you know, she was holding on to me. And then she started looking back to the TV to see how it was all going to end up. Because that's just the way we are, you know. We get in trouble and we seek security and help, and then we get calmed down a little bit, and then we just go right back out again. That's the book of Judges from beginning to end. That's what it's all about. Judges, it's called that because God raised up these leaders, these deliverers, if you will, who would, when the people got too far afield of what God had called them to be and who he called them to be, and they would get in trouble with their neighbors, then these judges would speak a word of the Lord to them and remind them of who they were and that God hadn't forgotten about them, still loved them, and kind of bring them back to order. And that's kind of the sequence. And I want to read a verse from it in just a minute, but I want to set the context for just a second. We have to understand who these people, when we talk about the Israelites, where they were and what was going on, because we've been following their history, right? And in Judges, they've just come into the promised land. You know, Moses had gone to Egypt, and he had, through the leadership of God, had gotten them out of there, and then they wandered through the wilderness, and then finally Moses died and Joshua took over, and Joshua got them into the promised land. And when they were there, they split up into tribes, and there were 12 tribes of Israel, because Jacob, it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think we talked about him one week. Jacob had 12 sons and grandsons, and they were the one. I'm sorry, ladies, that's the way the world was then. Okay, you're not being left out of here. That's the way the Bible goes sometimes. But there were 12 sons and grandsons, and they divided up into tribes, and they were each apportioned part of this land, and so they all had their own areas. But it's important to remember that while this was a promised land from God, it was also a foreign land. There were people living there. We've talked about all the Ites, the Moabites, and the Canaanites, and all of those people that worship little g gods, and they had their own way of living. And the whole point was that God wanted them to be a witness to these people around them so they could see that they didn't have to worship a graven idol, that there actually was a God of the universe, and he loved them and wanted them to be in his heart as well. But there was a lot of pushback from that. And because some of the tribes tribes were living really close to some of these neighbors that were bigger, and they started getting bullied, and then they started forming alliances, and sometimes they turned on each other as they were trying to defend themselves. And it all went down the tubes. So I think when we look at Judges, because, you know, they're between coming into the land, and they're also then between what's coming next, and they wanted a king. They wanted a king because they were learning that all their neighbors had kings, and some of them had really fancy costumes that they wore, and they were very rich, and they were very powerful, and they wanted a king too, and they cried out to God, we want a king too, because our neighbors have a king, and we don't have one. And God was going, he's trying to get these judges to tell them, you don't want a king, you just want to follow God. No, we want a king. So eventually they would get one, and we'll talk on subsequent Sundays about how that worked out for them. But right now, we catch the people in Judges, and they're in between. They're in between this leadership of Moses and Joshua that got them into the promised land, and in between the leadership coming up next. And right now there was no central leadership. You had these 12 tribes, and they were all just kind of doing their own thing. And what had happened was they had become insecure because these bigger neighbors were starting to, you know, get their eyes on their territory, and maybe were going to take some of it for themselves. So they were insecure. They were uncertain about what was going to happen next. They thought they wanted a king. They weren't sure God was going to give them a king. And so ultimately they were unfaithful, and they started then worshiping some of these little g gods because they just wanted to get along with these neighbors that were all around them, and they wanted to blend. And so they started doing some of those things, and it led to their undoing. And as I think about that, we are not in such a dissimilar situation. This one verse, this sort of sums up the whole situation with Judges. It's Judges 17, verse 6. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. And so the tribes sometimes turned on each other. The people within the tribes turned on each other. They turned away from God, and they did their own thing. Now, let's halt the history lesson for a minute and bring this up about, I don't know, 22, 23 centuries into the 21st century. Are things really all that different? You know, I don't know about you, but for me, this feels like in between. And I'm talking about the time from, say, February or March of 2020, starting then. You know, whenever everything changed, before then, you know, the world wasn't perfect, but at least we felt like we knew what we could count on. We could get out and do our own thing. We could get out and see other people, be connected, work and play and do all this. And all of a sudden, we're locked down and we become isolated from family and friends. And people are losing their jobs, and economic situations are tanking. And people are struggling, parents are struggling, trying to figure out how we're going to educate our kids and still try to work whenever there are no schools to go to right now because of COVID. And there was this feeling of being in between, because everybody's hoping something else is coming. And we're all hoping that there's going to be, and there is, and we're going to be okay. But we don't know exactly what's coming, and we don't know exactly when it's coming and how things are going to look in a year or two. So I kind of feel like we're in this in-between time. And I think there's some parallels. You know, I believe that we are, as a culture, experiencing the same thing the people of Israel experienced when they were in that in-between period of the Judges. I think that this uncertainty and this insecurity is resulting in just mass anxiety. I just think, as a culture, we're anxious because that's what happens. And on top of that, I think there's grief involved. And anxiety and depression, by the way, that's one of the symptoms, one of those signposts of grief. And the grieving process is something that everyone has to go through. And I think we've been grieving as a culture. We're grieving what we've lost. So many people have lost so much. We've lost people we loved because of COVID. And we've lost the ability to be able to come and go, in some cases, the way we wanted to do things. And we've lost jobs, and the economy is, with economies, you know, doing okay right now, but who knows what's going to happen next? You know what I mean? And I think that we are cumulatively grieving, because anger is a part of grief. Depression is a part of grief. Insecurity is a part of grief. Loneliness, isolation, it's all part of the grieving process. So hear me, when I talk this morning, I'm not pointing fingers at me or you or anybody else and saying, you know, we're bad, the Israelites were bad. No, they just acted the way they acted, and there were reasons why they acted the way they did, and they didn't work out well for them. And I want us to try to avoid that if we can. Because I see some of this same stuff going on in our culture. I mean, we're killing each other. Incidents of road rage are spiking. We got 4,000 plus incidents of people just acting a fool on airplanes and hurting other people. You know, fist fights on airplanes over masks. And I don't like wearing masks either. I mean, you know, I get it, and you have to in some situations, and I got that. And that's okay. I can do that. I don't like it, but I do. But, you know when you get on the plane that you're going to have to wear a mask, and yet people want to fight people over that. And the point, by the way, is not whether we should or shouldn't wear masks. That's not my point at all. And I'm not lifting one up against the other. This is not about masks or not wearing masks, vaccinated or not vaccinated. So please put that out of your mind. That's not what I'm talking about. But those are symptoms, I think, of this anxiety we're going through. And when we start pulling toward ourselves and going, well, you know what, I'm going to get for me and mine because I don't know what's coming next and I'm scared. And that is a natural human reaction. I'll tell you one. This bothered me. This bothered me. We just been on vacation. We went down to the Gulf of Mexico to Destin. We stayed in a condo down there that some friends helped us get. And when you sign in, and you get your door code for the condo. You have to go through this list of house rules, and one of the early ones is no smoking. You can't smoke in the rooms. You can't smoke on the balconies. There are designated smoking areas around the parking lot. And there's a designated smoking area on the beach. Otherwise, you can't smoke. And you sign your name to that. You have to sign your name. Okay, I understand, and I agree. And so we were on the second floor. And so one night, about the second night we were there, we were out on the balcony after dinner and just, you know, listening to the surf and just enjoying the beautiful evening. And all of a sudden, this cloud of vanilla smoke comes rising up from beneath us, you know, and I'm sure it was someone vaping. And then also along with that, there was the smell of cigarette smoke. And it's so strong where we are, we had to retreat. I mean, and I used to smoke, okay? I'm not picking on smokers. I used to smoke, smoked for years. I understand it's hard to stop. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just merely pointing out something here that when we're pushed and when we're stressed, we do things sometimes without thinking about what it's doing to somebody else. And it's different from, well, I may have my radio up a little too loud. It's a little annoying, but smoking hurts you. Smoke is bad for you. That was why I eventually had enough sense to stop for myself, and it will hurt you. Smoking will hurt you. And it'll hurt other people. But those folks, and those are good people. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying they were going to do what they were going to do for them. They did what was right. What did the passage say? Everyone did as they saw fit. And we've kind of got that going on in our culture right now. There's another verse in Judges I want to read. And it's from Judges 2. Joshua has, in context is, Joshua's just gotten him into the promised land. He died. And so a whole generation now has gone with no leadership. And this is what God said to the people through one of those judges. He's talking about, the context is, there were people who were invading some of these kingdoms. I will not drive them out before you. They will become traps for you, and their gods will become snares to you. That was God saying, look, you all have forgotten all about me. And I'm not going to bail you out this time. Now, he did. But what he let them do was kind of suffer the consequences of their actions for a while until they realized what was happening to them. And I'm going to say something right now, and I don't want you to get mad at me. I just want you to listen to it and see if there's some truth. When we talk about little g gods, I think that we are, I think some of us, not everybody, some people have made a God out of personal choice. You know, it's my personal choice. And please don't automatically go to mass and vaccination. There's a lot more at stake than just that. I just want to bring this up in a general sense. That we've almost made a little G God out of personal choice. And to heck with what it does to anybody else. To heck if my smoke bothers you. Tough, move. I'm smoking here. I know you're not supposed to, but it doesn't matter. That's what I want to do. You don't like it, move. Well, that shouldn't be the way it works. And you're not going to get everybody to sign off on that. But here's what I'm trying to distill this down to. God doesn't want us to act that way. God doesn't want us to give that kind of witness in the world. And you know, if you wear a mask and somebody else doesn't, you know, we don't shake our finger in somebody's face and belittle them. Oh, the other way around. If you don't want to wear a mask and somebody is, and that's happening too, where we make fun of people for wearing a mask. Well, it's their choice. Whether you do or whether you don't, it's your choice. And I know there's some, you know, that's mandates notwithstanding. That's not my point this morning. My point is about understanding that our freedom, we have freedoms, and I thank God we live in a country where we are free, and I know there's questions about that right now because of vaccines and masks, and I got all that, but let's face it, y'all. We live in a free country, and people have given everything they had for us to live in this free country. But our freedoms only go as far as the next person's freedoms. My freedoms aren't more important than somebody else's freedom so that I can say, well, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. And if this bothers you, tough. Deal with it. Get over it. I don't think we can do that. I think we have to think more from a standpoint of what God would have us to do. We can't be that generation that's forgotten the commandments. We just went over them last week or 2 weeks ago. You know, we know what God wants us to do. We have a deliverer, by the way. We don't need judges anymore. We have a deliverer, and his name is Jesus. And he died on a cross so that we could be delivered from that. And we could start then understanding that if we want something, we have to think about how that impacts what somebody else wants. You know, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, I guarantee you. But he did. He did what he did because it was going to be best for everybody. And I know that's hard, but it's true. And it's sometimes you just have to try to be true even when it's hard. And I'm not trying to make anybody mad or step on anybody's toes, but people are looking to us. And Christians too often get misidentified by a few bad actors. And then the rest of us that are just trying to follow Jesus the best we can, we get thrown in the mix. Well, those Christians are all hypocrites. They don't care about anybody else, blah, blah, blah. That's not true. Yeah, there are good ones. There are people who get it right. There are people who get it wrong. I'm one. I get it right. I get it wrong. Guilty. But I know when I'm wrong. I gotta try to fix it. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. I mean, it's hard. I know it's hard. But just as God put the people of Israel where they were for a reason, they were there. Remember when he told Abram when they first started out, you will be blessed to be a blessing. And we are blessed to be a blessing. Jesus did what he did so that we could become all that we could possibly be in him and make the world a better place around us. Here's something I just want you to remember, and we're gonna go to the table here. What happened to the judges, the people forgot about God, but God didn't forget about them. And when we forget about God and we do something, say something, whatever, that hurts somebody else, maybe hurts us too, and we think, oh, well, oops, I did it again, and I guess God's done with me. Nope. No, when we forget about God, God never forgets about us, and that's not a threat. That's a glorious promise that he's always there, always ready to help us do do a little bit better the next time. When Jesus was with his friends, I don't know, a couple of hours before he was arrested perhaps, and he took that bread from the Passover meal and he broke it. And when he did that, he showed us how sometimes personal freedom is at least taken down a couple of notches on the priority list for the sake of somebody else. And he knew his disciples were going to struggle just like he did. He was getting it just like the people in Judges. He had people after him. He had the Romans after him. He had the Jewish leadership after him. Not all Jewish people, but the Jewish leadership was after him. It was hard. He knew it was going to be hard for his disciples. And he said, you know what? This is how much I love you. This is what I'm willing to do. This is what I'm willing to do so that you can live for me in the world. Then he took that cup that was part of the Passover meal, that cup of wine, and he asked God's blessing on it and said, this is my blood. This is my life. This is my life. I'm going to allow to be poured out so that you can be filled and that you can live in a way that blesses other people. That's what's at stake in this meal that we take. And you hopefully have your little communion cup with you. If you don't, I'm sure there's still some out there. We're going to do a song in a minute. If you need to get up and go get one, you can. It's fine. But you take that first little layer off and you find that little wafer. And that little wafer, you may think, ooh, that boy, that doesn't look edible. And it probably is. I mean, it is. It's edible. But don't get hung up on that. Think about what it represents. It represents Jesus saying, you know what? I'm willing to give it all up for you because I love you. And then we peel that second layer off to the juice and we drink that. And Jesus said, this is all I've got. This is, when we drink that juice, that's Jesus saying, this is all I have. This is it. Everything I have, I give to you. It's yours. Take it because that's how much I love you. So eat the bread, take the cup, remember the sacrifice, and remember that is to give us the resources we need to be that kind of witness in the world. We're going to sing a song, let you take the holy meal. Sing with us when you want.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Concord United Methodist Church. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United, and we would love to hear from you. To contact us, please send an email to podcasts@concordunited.org with sermons in the subject line. For more information about Concord United, including worship times, service opportunities, mission efforts, and classes, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to download and enjoy our daily devotional podcasts presented by the pastors and members of Concord United. Finally, we would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and a review of this podcast so that others can discover it and benefit from it.